Well, I am want to thank Christ Life Ministries giving me the opportunity to speak, and looking forward to this. And it's just, you know, when my youth pastor would break the guys off from the girls, we knew what was coming, right? Y'all know what's coming, okay? How many have been here before? Okay. So he would always ask us, he'd start off, what do guys struggle with the most? And listen, nothing's changed, okay? And so all of us guys, we'd all joke around. We're like, women, you know, girls, and this and that and all that stuff. And every time, even if we were rowdy. Like, he would ask about anything, and we would just yell at women, okay? So it was like we had a good time when we would split off. But I want to preach a message entitled and have a somewhat of a discussion. I want to walk through some scripture with you and give you some tips, because in this life, the whole world, our culture, our social construct, everything is geared for you to fail, okay? And for not only you to fail, for you to mess up big time. Not only for you to mess up big time, but for you to mess up so bad that you won't be able to do much later in life, okay? And so I want to share some tips with you, and the message is entitled Prepare for War, and we're going to jump into, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. Prepare for war. Let's go ahead, and we're going to start in verse number 3. And then we'll end up in verse 5 and kind of work our way through, okay? The Bible says in verse number 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number starting in 3, okay? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share truth with these young men. Lord, that even just being a man in our culture, it seems like it's under attack. And so, Lord, I pray that we, as we look through some of the things in which these young guys are going to be going through at some point in their life, and probably the rest of their life, Lord, I pray that we would can just find some truths in your word that will help us, and we'll be prepared, we'll be ready, and we'll know how to have victory. Lord, as we enter this battle and enter this war, Lord, I pray that we would be ready and prepared for this battle. We love you, Father, and we thank you so much for your grace. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first off, we have the position of conflict. Verse number 3, if you look with me, the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh." We walk in the flesh means basically we have flesh. We are flesh and bones. We have bodies, okay? We are a soul, but we are also a body, okay? So what does the Bible say? It says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." The war Paul mentions here is against sin, idols, and all forms of evil. Our battle as a Christian is different than the battles of our history, okay, in our country and in our world. The battle that we will go through as a Christian is a spiritual warfare that is fought not with muscle and battle skills, as we know it in our military, but spiritually. And here's the thing. Our weapons of warfare are not physical, but spiritual. And so have you ever heard that phrase, you know, someone bringing a gun to a knife fight? What we are in battle with is there is a raging battle for you and for your life and for your future. And even right now, there's a battle going on. What is the battle right now? It's, hey, what is going to distract this young guy during this very important message? That's a battle probably right now that's going on. What can come up in his mind that can distract him from the truth of the Word of God? What is it that, oh, okay, he likes to fidget, so he's going to fidget the whole time, and he's going to be distracted. That's a spiritual battle. Now, listen, I'm a guy that fidgets and is easily distracted, and if I see something move, I'm immediately distracted of what's going on. That's just my personality, okay? So for me, I have to be disciplined and understand that there is a battle, especially when truth is being presented. There is a raging battle that is going on. Now, the Bible says our weapons are not fleshly, but mighty. And it's funny because when you think of like the strongest guys or the best fighters in the world, and how many of y'all were in my session yesterday? And I was talking about my brother-in-law, okay? Seriously, he's huge. He does that strongman stuff, and he was in Russia, okay? And I was just watching the video last night. He's competing. It was called the Siberian something strength show. And he was up on this platform, and they had these giant towers, okay? And they had four guys holding this tower because it was on a pivot point. And so there's two towers, and you had four guys for each tower holding it back. And my brother-in-law, he got his grip, okay, in each hand. And I think he said it was like 375 pounds in each hand. And basically, when he got in position, they would let go, and it was a test. It was a time test to see how long he could hold on with that pulling him. Now, they've done that with cars. He's done that in the competition where, like, they have cars and ramps, and it just, like, pulls him. And you just have to let go, and that's your time. And I forget, he had like 40 seconds or something. But it's insane, you know. And some of the things that he did, he's strong. He's a big dude. He's a strong dude. He sent me a text. He's like, yeah, I just got 500 twice in bench. I'm like, what? 500 in bench? That's insane. Did any of y'all lift? Am I speaking a foreign language? Does anybody lift weights? Okay. That's a lot of weight, okay? that's a lot of weight. And so, but anyway, the strongest of guys doesn't compare to the might that we see here in this verse. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Okay, so we don't war hand-to-hand combat. That's not the battle that Paul is talking about. The battle that Paul is talking about is a spiritual battle. And so in verse 4, it says, through God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's the same word as flesh. So carnal sometimes means like a spiritual condition. Here it just means flesh. And so here it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. It is not, we can train to be strong. We have guys who do karate. And anyone do jujitsu? You do? Okay, that's awesome. I love that art. That is really fascinating, jiu-jitsu, especially Muay Thai. Do you really? What else?
Well, I want to learn karate.
You want to learn karate? Okay.
I've taken Muay Thai for 4 years.
Wow, okay, great. And so there are some really neat, fascinating fighting styles, and I love all that stuff. But here's the thing, is that the battle and the war and the battle that is raging around us and within us is not the battle of the flesh, okay, or carnally, or as it says, not carnal. But it says in the transition, mighty through God. And so it's the strength that we get to fight this battle that is raging, okay, inside of you, and the temptations that are going to come your way, and they're going to come out of nowhere, and it's going to be very difficult to plan for, okay? In other words, it's hard to prepare, like, okay, I'm going to take this week, prepare for this temptation, and then I will be completely ready. Temptation comes at any moment. In fact, a lot of times it comes when you're weakest, when you've had a great week of camp, or when you've had an incredible week at student prayer advance, And you get home, you're exhausted, you're grumpy, you're hungry, you're tired. And then guess when temptation is going to come? It's when you're at your weakest, okay? That's how our sinful nature works. And so we see here, though, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We see this position of conflict, but mighty. It's that word kind of where we get dynamite from. So it's powerful, but powerful through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, when I'm a senior pastor now, but when I was a youth pastor, man, we did a lot of really dumb things, okay? Does your youth pastor and youth group do a lot of dumb things? Okay. I mean, I don't want to give you any ideas, okay? But we would, I would have all the guys, we had like 3 or 4 acres in the country where we lived, and New Year's Eve, we would just have all the guys up. And, I mean, it was awesome. We would have PS4s playing all night, playing games, and Risk. Anyone ever play Risk? Okay, we would play Risk. Then Settlers of Catan, transition to that, okay? And then, you know, then there'd be guys just played Call of Duty all night on the big screen. And, oh, man, it's so much fun. But what we would do before we went inside is we would be outside. We'd play, like, hide-and-go-seek. We'd have a big bonfire. But one of our traditions was to get fireworks. And so, seriously, I mean, I would drive from Virginia 4 hours that day to go get fireworks. And I just love demolition. You know what I mean? Like things exploding. Okay, that's okay. All right, yeah. Right, okay, that's all right. That's good. And so one of the things we would do is we would, you know, get a bunch of firecrackers, and we'd get these things called Zips. You ever hear those? Okay, you light them. Well, if you're underage or whatever the rules are, follow those first, okay? But if you light them and then you hold on to it for a while and you see it go down right before it hits, you chuck it. And then what it does is it's called Zips, and it zips. It's like, and it just flies around crazy and everyone runs around. So we got to, you know, like each year we'd get a little bit crazier. And then next thing you know, we're chucking them at each other. You know, it's like, oh, man. And then one of the boys, we had gone over some safety things before. And one of the boys, he's like, oh, yeah, my mom got me some firecrackers. And I'm like, really? And so he lit them, but he didn't know what to do after he lit them. So he's just holding on to it. I'm like, throw them, throw them, throw them, throw them. He's like, what? And it was a whole pack. And so literally it was the slowest throw I've ever seen. I'm like, dude, just get him out of your hand. So he winds up the biggest throw, like, and he's just sitting there. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, he's actually really smart. He's going to med school. He's a valedictorian. He's a really smart guy, but no common sense. So he's just watching this. I'm like, dude, throw it for your life. I mean, get rid of it. And then, you know, so he doesn't just chuck it. He like goes like this. And then right when he gets to here, you hear pow, 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 pow. And luckily, they hardly make any like powerful ones anymore. But his fingers were feeling it, and it was like one of the things that I loved about the fireworks is I would go into a fireworks store and say, give me the loudest aerial. Where I lived was in between some mountains along the river, and so what we would do is we'd get these tubes, put these big old mortars in there, you light them, and it wasn't like a show. It was just boom. And then all of a sudden in this valley, it was boom. I mean, it shook your heart. It was awesome. And it was just a giant explosion in the sky. And that's the similar word, okay, as what we see with mighty through God, okay? And then demolition, the dunamis, or the dynamite, is mighty through God, or the dynamiting. Why does God have to dynamite? What is it that he has to dynamite in this spiritual battle? Well, we're going to get to that in here in just a moment. But he says, so this dynamite type of power through God to the pulling down, that's that demolition. Have you ever... There's just something that speaks to a young guy when you have a sledgehammer and you rip apart a room, okay? It's an amazing... Now, I mean, don't do that in your house. That is like a nice house, okay? We had bought a house a couple years ago, and we found out like everything needed to be demoed. And so it was just so much fun ripping that house apart. And you didn't have to be careful. You didn't have to be careful. Maybe a little bit of electrical stuff, but I had this big old, it was a split mall. And man, you just rip through that wall and stuff's exploding and busting out. And it's okay, you know, that you just kind of get to turn loose a little bit. And it's destructive. It was great. It was wonderful. The worst part was rebuilding everything to be to spec and all that stuff. What's that? Then you redestroy it. Yeah, no, you don't want to do that. But listen, look at what it says here in verse number 4. Mighty are that dynamite through God to the pulling down the destruction, that demolition of strongholds. Well, what is the strongholds in this spiritual battle? What are these strongholds? The strongholds, the original language, it gives this idea of like a fortress. This huge fortress that's fortified, thick walls, and just about anything cannot destroy it, okay? And so, but we see the key for the destruction of these strongholds here, and that is that we need the dynamite power of God to destroy and to demolish the strongholds that is gripping your heart and your life. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, we get to this here in verse number 5. And let me just say this. This has been a very unique time, right? I mean, as a Christian, many of you guys and teens across our country have just been given free reign with internet this past year. You guys have been given free reign with phones. You've been given free reign with all kinds of things that maybe you didn't have free reign with. And some of it, as I've learned, some of it was just to keep kids busy. Some of it was school. Some of it was research. A lot of it was just, okay, if you're gaming, then you're not getting into trouble. And or if you're on a social network, then you're not physically causing issues here. But what we may not realize is, let me ask you that. Do you guys generally agree with that assessment this past year? Has it been just an unusual year of unusual freedoms for young people? Okay. For some, maybe not, okay? And so here's the deal. Some of us may have not even known that we have been building up strongholds because we have absolutely taken what this world has given to us as just another thing which I'm going to see, another thing which I'm going to experience, and it's just a part of our culture. It's just something that young guys look at. It's just something that young guys experience. And so, listen, I want you to know that you may not even realize that there's a fortress or there is something fortified in your heart and in your life that has been building for this last year or 2 years or 3 years. And I want you to know that as God reveals through the Holy Spirit some things in your heart, I want you to know that there's hope. There's hope in that dynamite power of God, that mighty power that can demolish what you think you can't stop doing. The thing that seems fortified in your heart, fortified in your mind, the images that you can't get out, the thought processes that you can't stop. I want you to know that there is hope. I shared that with the high schoolers yesterday of that young boy who, after he went through all of our youth group, and something always seemed wrong, something always seemed out of place. And he had finally come to me and said, I've just given up. I've given up hope. I have fought, but I haven't been able to defeat it. I have failed, and I have failed, and I have failed. And I want you to know that there is hope. You can try and try and try on your own, and it's not going to work. You have to have the power of God. You have to have the power of God, the mighty dunamis, power of God to destroy the stronghold that you may have been building or that is maybe it's just starting to get built in your heart and in your life. So what is the plan? What is the plan that we are to do? How do we defeat this? Well, it brings me to verse number 5, my second point, the principle of casting. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So as we read in verse 5, we must look at it through the lens of the previous verse. What was it that built this fortress? Well, we see what he warns against in verse number 5. What was it that was building this fortress? What was it that was building this stronghold in our heart that needed to be destroyed, or that might need to be destroyed by the mighty power of God? Well, first off, he says here, casting down imaginations. That's the first thing in which has built this fortress. Imaginations, things that are not true. It's where our mind just wanders off into things in which it shouldn't be wandering off to. It's when we aimlessly watch horrible things that if we had our parents there with us, they would be ashamed with what we were watching. But we just almost like peons who are numb. And listen, I've been there, okay? I know what it's like to like tune it out. But what you don't realize is when you turn off your brain and you open your heart to this garbage, you're building a stronghold that you yourself cannot destroy. And so he says here in verse number 5, casting down imaginations, those things that are not true, okay? Those things that are not true, those things that haven't taken place with you personally. And there's a lot of, because of the age gap in here, I'm not going to go into the details, but you guys can fill in the blanks. Those things in which you watch that are not necessarily true. Those things that are being plugged up to your eye gate and your ear gate, and has just brick after brick after brick after hour after hour after hour after hour built up this fortress in your heart. But what does he say? He says what? The principle of casting. He says in verse 5, casting down imaginations. Now, who was the baseball player? You were, right? Okay? Okay? This is the illustration for today. That's it. Isn't this powerful? It really speaks to the heart, right? Okay? That was powerful, wasn't it? Okay, yeah, just to wake you up a little bit. No, we'll use that in just a moment. But we see this principle of casting. We'll get to that in just a moment. So imaginations, meaning in general context, reasonings and thoughts that are contrary to God, including wrong theology in the direct context, wrong practices, and wrong thinking. And every high thing, it goes on to say, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And so it's those things that we're supposed to have God in first place. We're supposed to, when we worship, we're giving him worth. We're putting him in his place in our minds and putting ourselves in our place. Woe is me, but mighty is God. And so we give him worth. And that's somewhat of the idea here, is that there's things which compete for first place with God. There's things that will try to compete with his excellency and with his knowledge and with the things that should be in first place. Look with me in verse 5. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The things in which challenge the word of God, the excellency of who God is. And let me tell you guys, to bring it to our situation and this age group, I got to tell you, there are things that are challenging God's word that we watch or that are being presented to you over and over and over and over. And next thing you know, that's just becoming this unusual reality for you. And it becomes this isolation. And we talk about a new normal. Like nowadays, I hate that phrase. Even though I just said it. But the new normal is when we have so partnered with the world to accept just whatever video or whatever snap or whatever short clip or whatever TikTok or whatever thing is going to be come up on our screen. We're just going to watch it. And when we get used to that type of diet, a stronghold is built. A new normal is formed. And it's about time that young men stood up, pleaded with God, saying, God, I need your help. No one knows about this. But I need your power because this has become too big. Destroy this in my life. Demolish it through your mighty power. Friend, there's hope. You may have gone down paths you never thought you'd go down. You may have gone down areas and watched things you never thought you would like what Preacher Harold was saying earlier, the I will never. Maybe there's things on that list that you have, and you're ashamed. But listen, I want you to know that there's hope. And we have the power of God to defeat those strongholds. So, what does he mean to cast down? What do we do? Are you guys bombarded with stuff from this world? Just shake your heads, okay? And can I just say, for those of you that might shake your head no, I want you to know, praise God. But there will be a time, and you have to be ready. Take these general principles we're sharing with you and be ready when different temptations will come. So what do we do? Okay? How many soccer balls, footballs, basketballs, baseballs, softballs, dodgeballs have you caught in your entire life? How many catches have you made? Okay? Shot in the dark. Football guy. No, your whole life, when you're three and they're like, catch a ball, and you catch it, okay? Okay. Okay, for me, hundreds of thousands. I mean, we would be in football practice and the coach would be raining, and the coach would be like, all right, he'd tell the quarterback, who was also the baseball pitcher, he's like, throw it as hard as you can at their face mask. And if they drop it, everyone has to do 10 push-ups. So we're like, oh, man. You know, the first guy, it goes through his hands, boink, 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 boink. You know, hits all of our heads, drop and do 10 right in the rain. It was terrible. But, I mean, I'm telling you, if you think about it, all the dodgeballs, all the games I've played as a youth pastor, we used to play tennis ball dodgeball. That was great. It adds a little of the excitement, but listen, think about it. When I do that, what's your reaction? Okay, it's natural, right? Receiver, he reached forward for that one. Yeah, good. Okay, it's natural, right? It becomes a habit. Right? Why?
Because I've done it so many times.
How many times? Thousands, right? We'll get past that. Thousands of times. Thousands of times. And here's what he says here when he says casting down imaginations. Those things that are not true. Those things that are on your screen. Those things that appear. Those chats. The Snapchat. Everything. You guys know way more than I do, okay? But all those things that come across your screen, know what you ought to do with them? Right here, okay? You have that reaction? Boom. Ah! How'd that get there? Cast it down. Okay? What in the world? Right? Cast it down. What does it mean? Demolish. I mean, like, smash it. Be done with it. Squash it like a fly. I don't know. Like, catch a fly, smash. No. Like an egg that you're trying to smash. Listen, here's the thing, okay? Here's the practice. Listen. obviously, you want to keep yourself from sin. You want to, I believe you ought to keep yourself from as much temptation as possible. I believe you ought to make it easy to do right and hard to do wrong. Isn't that simple enough? And so when the wrong comes your way, you don't sit there like, oh man, what's that? Rhino skin. Oh, okay, dodgeball. 6-inch. Made in Sweden. That's weird. It is. No, when sin and or when temptation comes before you and that thing comes across your screen, you guys have to develop the habit of casting down. You have to develop the habit of getting rid of it. Because listen, your parents aren't always going to be there. Even when you're married and your wives are there and you marry a real pretty wife, there's still going to be things that comes to your screen that will come across your TV. And you guys have to be disciplined. And guess what? When you start adding up how often this is going to take place, it's probably going to be thousands of times. But guess what happens? He's probably pretty good at dodgeball. You know what? You're going to learn where it starts coming from, and you're going to start to dodge it. Right? So, isn't that what we should do with sin? With these things that just come out of nowhere? We start to learn. We build the habits of dealing with them biblically. So that when we're like, oh, hold on. When we're like, okay, going through life, and then all of a sudden, whoa, no. That tried to get me last time. And then sometimes when they're like, hey, catch. And you're like, what? What? Oh, no. Cast it down. Get rid of it. Get rid of that temptation. Move forward. Keep scrolling. Get rid of the app if you have to. If you have to get drastic, get drastic. But through the power of God, you young men have to learn how to cast down. And guess what? Mom's not always going to be there. One of the boys was like, hey, can you hold my stuff? I'm like, I'm not your mom. And I was picking on him. Who was that? I won't call him out. But I'm like, dude, I'm not your mom. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah. I mean, here's the thing, okay? This, your walk with Christ is an individual thing. And you need to take this seriously. Why? Because if you don't, a stronghold will be built. With every time that you do that, every time you catch it, every time you look, every time you act on it, you're building a stronghold. Look at what it continues to go on and say. And let's finish up in verse 5. And third point, the prescription of captivity. Bring into captivity, okay? Look at what it says in verse 5. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, one of the things that I love, especially when I'm sick, is there certain things you watch when you're sick? Like, do you ever get sick and you're like down for the count? Maybe I'm old school, but I used to love Rocky movies. And I found this black and white Western set of like 99 Westerns of like John Wayne when he was little, or when he was like young. I love those. And I love those scenes, man. They're going through the fields, and they're doing the roundup. And there's just something freeing, man. They're riding and, you know, hooting and hollering. And it's just a beauty. Yeah, I mean, they're going crazy. They're getting all their cows and cattle together and doing, yeah, that's right. And and they're rounding them up. And that's the idea of bringing into captivity. Sometimes it was to mark them, you know, and to brand them. But whatever the reason, he says here in verse number 5, and bringing into captivity every thought to what? So you're bringing into captivity, that's every thought, every cattle that's wandering around there, that's every wandering thought that just enters into your mind because of something you saw, something you heard, or just because of your flesh. And what it's saying is you are to gather them together like cattle. For, it says here in verse 5, captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so you are to bring these thoughts and submit them unto the obedience of Christ. It's based similar to what Harold was saying with that lordship deal with God. It's saying, God, even my thoughts, even those wandering thoughts that I have, I am going to work through your power to bring them into captivity, like we're rounding up cattle. Those crazy thoughts that come out of nowhere that aren't true or vain or whatever, every thought, we are going to wrangle here together and place them and run them through the filter of your word and place them into the obedience of Christ. And so here's what happens. Here's what we want, okay? This is the big takeaway, is right here. This habit, what is your name?
Alex.
This habit that Alex has right here, he knows I have a ball. He knows it's coming at his head. And so what does he do? It's just instinct. You don't have to, like, you hardly looks at the ball, okay? It's just instinct, okay? That's what we want. Because these are going to come out of nowhere. And you have to have the instinct not to catch it and hold on to it. But you have to have the instinct to catch it and immediately what? Demolish it. Cast down. Are you with me? Cast down those things in which try to go after and compete for Jesus being the Lord of your thoughts, the Lord of your heart, the Lord of your life. Yes, can that be things like things, bad things you can look on the internet? Absolutely, absolutely. But it also applies to other things as well. And really in the immediate context, Paul is really more talking about bad theology, but the principle applies. And the habit needs to be there. Not to observe, but to demolish. It's serious business. It hurts you physically to live a lust-filled life. It affects your body. It affects your relationships. And you just build this fortification of a castle. Now, I'd encourage you to examine your heart and see if there are strongholds that need to be demolished. Then learn that discipline of resisting. Okay, casting down. But this is something that's really a thought process has really made a big impact on me here, like within the last couple weeks. Y'all look up here. Why should you do this? Why? Because a preacher preached? Why do we do this? What's our motive? This is huge. Okay? What's that? Okay. Why do we do this?
To set boundaries that God may not be displeased with us.
Okay.
It destroys you.
Okay. It destroys you. Okay. Those are good things. It'll help you in the long run. Okay. Okay, it could ruin your testimony. Okay. What's that?
Stay pure.
To stay pure. Those are all good things. Can I just share with you, I think the greatest motive ought to be? There's a verse in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us. We should pursue righteousness and holiness because His love showed to us should control us to do what we do. When it's out of strict duty or performance, failure and discouragement will come. When it's because a preacher just said so, which y'all listen, preacher, and listen to the word, that preacher will go away at some point. But when you look to what Jesus did for you, and when you look at and sometimes I'll do this, I'll just think about what he went through for me. Just for me. For little old Mark Harvey. For filthy, rotten Mark Harvey. One of my favorite verses, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the midst of him hanging on the cross, he knew the wickedness that I would do in this life. And he still loves me. I got to tell you, no one in this life will show you that kind of love other than Jesus. And when you grasp the love of Christ that he showed on you, when that thing comes up on your screen, you have no problem getting it off. When you're alone and no one knows, young men, let the love of Christ control you in what you do. Let the love of what Jesus did for you control what you do and your response. There's hope. There is power in Jesus. And he can help. You may have had not just a year, you might have had years or months or weeks or days building a stronghold in your heart. I want you to know you can go to God and he has the power to demolish it. But you have to do it through him. You can't do it on your own. So let the love of Christ be your motivation and know that the power of God can demolish that stronghold. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love and for the interaction with these guys. It's been great. And Lord, we just pray that you are honored and glorified here, but also that we would rely on your strength through this incredible topic of being at war. And so, Father, as our culture is aimed at these young men, Lord, and to fail and to mess up big time, I pray, Lord, that they would look to your love for them and allow that to control what they see, what they look at, what they hear, and what they listen to. We love you, Father. Help these young men and give them the strength that they need to fight this battle. We love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.